Hello. Welcome to the Unity Spiritual Center of Albuquerque podcast featuring the Reverend Gordon Kyler or occasionally a guest speaker. You can find us online at uscabq.org or by searching for Unity Spiritual Center Albuquerque on Facebook or YouTube. You can visit us in person at 9800 Candelaria Road Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And now, Reverend Gordon Kyler.
Well, today we are going to continue our series that we've been doing on everything good and original blessing and affirmative prayer, especially today focusing on the power of affirmation. And before I begin and get into our service today, I'd like to give a shout out to somebody who really truly taught me the power of affirmations. He's joining us today on Facebook. I was delighted to see him there this morning, Reverend Greg Barrett. So, yeah, some of you know Reverend Greg. Some of you remember when he was the minister here. And he was the one who really kind of lit the fuse on me beginning my spiritual path towards ministry. So good to see you on there, Greg. Hope you're doing well. No, I affirm you're doing well. Oh, wow. Last week was fun, wasn't it? With Armand and Angelina. Yes. They are a couple I've known for many years who truly demonstrate the power of affirmations. They live it. Their entire life is based on affirmations. They share it daily, and it shows up in how they show up and how they bless us and bless all the communities that they visit and serve. So today we're going to explore that idea of affirmations as being not just the words we speak, but as living truths that shape our reality. How many of you ever realized that's what an affirmation is? It's a living truth that shapes our reality. Jesus himself taught us the power of the spoken word. He taught us to use that creative part of our mind to change our lives, to change the world around us. We're going to be looking at his teachings. We're going to be also quoting and looking at some of the ideas contained in one of my all-time favorite books, Illusions by Richard Bach. How many of you have read it? It's a simple book. You could read it in 30 minutes, but it has some profound insights in it. And one of those is the statement that we are limited only by the beliefs we accept as true. Allow that to sink in. You are limited only by the beliefs you accept as true. So we're going to move from merely saying affirmations to actually living them. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus tells us, "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go and throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them." Now, Jesus was not saying, "Sandia Peak, go throw yourself into the ocean." That's not what he was talking about. A mountain, metaphysically, are those big things in our life that need to move, that need to shift. It's not just poetic language. This is a profound spiritual law. And Jesus reveals that our words, when backed by belief, hold power. Charles Fillmore echoed this when he wrote that words are vehicles of thought charged with energy. We know that the sound that comes out of our mouth as words is a vibration. It is energy, and everything in the universe responds to energy. So if we affirm abundance but continue to believe in lack, we're negating that energy. We're lowering that frequency. Our words remain empty. It is only when we align our belief with the word that true transformation occurs. So affirmations have to work on several different levels. There's the words we speak, which puts that vibration out, but we also have to allow that to change our belief. In his book, Illusions, Richard Bach wrote, "Argue for your limitations, and sure enough, they're yours." Argue for your limitations, and sure enough, they're yours. That's a powerful reminder of how our beliefs shape our reality. If we continually reinforce our perceived limitations, around our ability, around our potential, around our circumstance, around what is happening around the world that is impacting us. We make them true by the sheer power of our conviction. Unity spiritual principles teach us to speak to the law of mind action. So what we have to do for our affirmations to be effective is change our thinking, because thoughts held in mind do what? Ah, you got it. Produce after their kind. And just as we say, I am prosperous, I am healthy, I am whole, if we say, but, I can't do that. I'm too old. I'm not talented. I'm not worthy. I have this genetic condition that my ancestors had. We're reinforcing a self-imposed barrier. And the more we argue for these limitations, the more we entrench them into our identity. And let's be honest, most of us, myself included, have these ideas that we have entrenched into our identity for decades. Some of us more decades than others. But the good news is, if we entrench them, we can dig them out and release them. The opposite is true. When we shift our mindset to one of possibility, to one of faith, to one of empowerment, we open the door for transformation. And instead of arguing for our limitations, we can advocate for our potential. We can choose to affirm our divine nature, our inner strength, our ability to grow beyond our challenges. We begin to shift that by asking a question. And the first question we must ask is, are these beliefs serving my highest good? That's a tough one sometimes, because some of these beliefs we have held on to since childhood. Some of these beliefs are comforting. Some of these beliefs are so entrenched that we believe they are the truth. But when we ask, is it serving my highest good? We begin to see, oh, maybe not. Maybe it's time to let this one go. Bless it for the good it did at some point in life, and then let it go. We have the power to change the narrative. And instead of arguing for our limitations, we can argue, or we can declare, our freedom, our creativity, our infinite potential. So let's try something. Take a moment now. Bring to mind an affirmation. Perhaps it's, I am strong. I am at peace. I am healthy. Feel it? Do you fully believe it? Are you living it? Or have doubts crept in, diluting its power? If you're like all of us in this world, I think, if you're here, certainly, we have those times of doubt. We have those times of, gee, I don't know. If you didn't, you probably wouldn't be here today, because you wouldn't need what we teach. I wouldn't need to be speaking it, because I would totally believe it. We are all in that process of growth and unfolding. Affirmations are more than feel-good phrases. They are calls to action. They are calls to action. What action? Well, the first is owning it. Owning that I need to change this belief I have. I need to let that one go. I need to reimagine the narrative. Myrtle Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, she didn't just say, I am healthy, and then do nothing. She didn't just say, I am a child of God created in the image and likeness of God, and therefore I cannot inherit illness, and then just, I'm healed. She spent a year working on changing entrenched ideas that were generational in her family. And she took action. She embodied it. She established a meditation practice. She changed her diet. Now, she didn't join a gym, because they didn't have gyms in those days unless you were a boxer or something. And frankly, life was hard enough. You got all the exercises you needed just surviving. But over time, her body responded. She moved into that life of health and wholeness. She went from just an affirmation to living it. But she got up off her bed and did it. And that's our fifth unity principle, is action. We have to put feet on our prayers, on our beliefs, and on our affirmations. It's not enough to just say them. We have to begin to live them. The book I told you about, Illusions by Richard Bach, tells the story of a great master in modern times named Donald Shimoda, who's the archetype of a spiritual teacher and way shower, and who had transcended conventional limitations. And he serves as a mentor, Richard Bach, the author, guiding him towards self-discovery, spiritual awakening, and the realization that reality itself is shaped by our perception and our belief. He had several key themes that he taught. The first, the power of belief. He demonstrated that the physical world is an illusion shaped by thought. That's a hard one to accept sometimes, because we live in a world of 7 billion human beings who are all having thoughts and creating reality. But the lesson is, we choose which reality we ourselves are going to live in. We can choose to live in chaos or to live in peace, to live in prosperity or to live in lack, to live in life or to live lifelessly. The hero Donald Shimoda also rejected societal norms and expectations. And he did this to illustrate that we are only bound by the limits of what we accept. He taught that reality is like a movie projection. We have the power to change the script at any time. And I like the last line to that, or tear it up and write a new one. We can reinvent ourselves. We can reinvent our experiences. And he ultimately stepped away from the role as a teacher in Wayshore because he realized that everyone chooses their own path. I think about how that relates to Jesus. And even when he taught, even when he did his healings, he would ask, "Do you want to be made whole?" He wouldn't force it on people. He would give them the freedom to either step into wholeness, or maybe it wasn't their time yet. I suspect there were some that didn't. They're not recorded, but I suspect there were. And I suspect he said, "Peace be with you. Learn what you need to learn from your experience." So if we say we are free to live, what are we free to live in? Fear? Faith? Abundance? Lack? Health and wholeness? Not health and wholeness? And how do we change it? We change it through the power of our affirmations. When we dare to act on our affirmations, when we dare to step out in faith and live what we are affirming, even though it may not be appearing yet, we create miracles. There's a bridge between thought and experience. That's what I am talking about today. The thought is the affirmation. The experience is the living of the affirmation. Eric Butterworth in Spiritual Economics wrote, "Faith is not a vague hope. It's a positive act." I grew up being taught, well, you just got to have faith. And nobody ever really told me what that was. You know, I thought it was pray harder. Faith is action. Faith is stepping out and living as if whatever it is you are affirming to manifest already exists. And how do we do that? We do it by the words we speak, by the vibration we give out and create. True affirmation requires us to move from mental repetition to embodied faith. When there is a gap, though, between what we affirm and what we live, our words lack creative power. I can stand here and say, I am prosperous. I am prosperous. I am prosperous. Oh, did you see the price of eggs? That's not going to work. I've just negated it. I am being controlled by the price of eggs. Who cares what the price of eggs is? I can either eat them or not. Our thoughts, our words, and our actions, and our energy must align with what it is we are affirming. If we affirm love, we must practice love. If we affirm wholeness, we must care for our body. If we affirm divine order, we must trust and step forward even when the path is not clear. That's a big struggle I think our culture right now is having. I spoke with some friends the other day who are usually kind of positive. They're new thought. They're our tribe, but they're living in fear. Everything they said is, oh my gosh, it's horrible. The world is coming to an end. The world has been coming to an end every single day since it was created. You don't have to get all worried about it. They, like so many of us, are focused on the appearances of what is happening in our world and in our nation. And they want, like all of us, to be a part of making things better. But their whole conversation was doom and gloom. And so the vibration is low. There's no room for creativity there. And I know that's what it looks like out there we are experiencing, but the point is nothing will change as long as we give the doom and gloom our energy. Instead of aligning our energy with a higher vibration. That's what Jesus did. That's what the Buddha did. That's what Muhammad did. That's what every great teacher and way shower has done. They have aligned themselves with the higher vibration. When we shift our mindset to one of possibility, faith, and empowerment, we open the door for transformation, not just for ourselves, but for everyone around us. Instead of arguing for our limitations, we can advocate for our potential. If you remember no other line from today, remember that one. Write it down if you're doing the notes in the app. Instead of arguing for our limitations, we can advocate for our potential. We can choose to affirm our divine nature, our inner strength, our ability to grow beyond challenges. Affirmations, though, as I said, alone will not do it. So how do we begin to take our affirmations and move them out? How do we begin to put action behind them? Well, there's five things we can do. The first, choose an affirmation that resonates with your spirit. Choose an affirmation that you feel. It has to be personal. It has to be meaningful. It has to have energy and conviction. That's the second step. Speak it with conviction. We could say, I am successful. Very low energy. I am successful. I am loved and loving. I am healthy and whole. I love Charles Fillmore's. I fairly sizzle with zeal and enthusiasm and spring forth with a mighty effort to do that which ought to be done by me today. And then you run out of breath. There's energy behind it. Speak it with conviction as if it is the truth because it is the truth. It is the truth that you are realigning your consciousness with. And then take action in alignment with your affirmation. That's number three. If you affirm peace, practice responding calmly. I love it. I am peaceful. Oh, you bleep, 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 you cut me off. I know, sometimes the emotions come up. But practice responding calmly. If you affirm abundance, give generously. Live it. Feel it. And the next one, release doubt. That's probably the hardest, release doubt. Jesus said, believe without wavering. Doubt weakens the creative power of our words. Believe it. Live it. Put your energy into it. Let your energy be it. And finally, oh, and this is a tough one sometimes, Celebrate the small steps. Somebody asked me the other day, what big thing can I do to make the world better? And I said, don't do big things. I can't go out and change the world. Neither can you, I don't think. If you can, we need to talk because I want to know how you do it. But what we can do is the small things. One little change for the good affects everyone around us. And then they do something because they're inspired and it affects the people around them and it grows outward. They say that a fire starts with a single spark. We can be the spark. One little thing. Every step toward embodying your affirmation is a victory. Celebrate it. Recognize growth, however small that may be. And don't worry about the big things. The more the little things we do, the more the big things will happen. So in closing, I invite you to choose one affirmation to embody this week. Pick one. Pick one that really you feel, that resonates with you. Speak it. Act on it. Trust it. And if you want to go deeper with this, join us for Soul Share tonight. That's where we really go deep with this stuff. So speak it, act it, trust it. Just as Jesus commanded the storm to be still, just as Myrtle Fillmore affirmed her wholeness, and just as Richard Bach reminds us that we are only limited by our beliefs, let us step forward fully into the power of our actions. And let us feel the truth as we go forth from this place. Namaste.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like to support this podcast, you may do so at uscabq.org.